Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it is to know where we're going to spend eternity, right? Praise the Lord for that. If you have your, go ahead and stand with this morning if you would. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 30. This is the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25 and starting in verse 14, as I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again today, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord God, for the precious Bible that you have preserved for us, that we might be able to look to and be able to hear it preached and receive the help that you have for us through it. I pray this morning for all that would have come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church and that are here assembled together. Lord God, would you give each one that ear to hear exactly what you have for them to hear today. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me make a statement here to begin with, and before we start breaking down and preaching and teaching on this parable, and that is that God is no respecter of persons. That's what the Bible says. That's what God reveals about himself. He is no respecter of persons, but not everyone on this earth has had or will have the same opportunities as everyone else. However, everyone has had and will have the same opportunity to accomplish God's will for their lives. Not everyone has had or will have the same opportunities as everyone else, but everyone has had and will have that's ever lived on this earth has had and will have the same opportunity to accomplish God's will for their lives. The question that we need to answer is not who has the most talents, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. The question that we need to answer is, what am I doing with the opportunities that God is giving me? Not only is what He has given to you in the past, and you've had all of us have had opportunities in the past, but what's more important than in seeing what we've done with the opportunities we've had, but what are we doing with the opportunities that God is giving us right now, today? I believe that this parable in Matthew chapter 25 addresses that. This parable of the talents was given to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ just a few days before His crucifixion. He knew in just a few days He was going to lay His life down on Calvary's cross. And He knew after that, that after He accomplished all that He had on this earth to accomplish, that He would be resurrected up. He would ascend up into heaven. And thus, He would have established this New Testament church age. Only God knows how long He would be gone and when He would return. And we know that we're looking for His soon return, which would be the rapture of the church. In this parable in verse 19, it says concerning this parable and this master that left his servants these talents, and he says, and after a long time, on this earth, it's been some 2,000 years. Most of us would think 2,000 years is a long time. Amen. And so he reveals to us here, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. I think it's been a long time, and we're closer to his return today than ever before. The one thing is for sure, he is going to return. It is going to take place. And I believe we're very close to that time than when the Lord will return. But this parable of the talents was given because Christ was teaching a truth for all to learn. Not just His disciples that He was discipling then, His apostles, but for the church age. For everyone that has lived in this church age for some 2,000 years, this was given and we have it recorded and it's been written down and we've had access to it for some 2,000 years. And Jesus knew that every one of us would have need of the truth that He was presenting in this parable. And so for a few minutes here this morning, I'd like to just break it down and help you to understand it so that we might be able to apply it to our lives here in this 21st century. The first thing that we have to consider is the giving out of the talents. In verse 14 and 15, for the kingdom of heaven is like, and that the kingdom of heaven is the ways of God, is as a man traveling to a far country, and no doubt it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and then straightway took his journey. The giving out, the distribution, or the assigning of these talents would be God's part. Be what God works in our lives. God's part. The English word here for talent is one's abilities or skills. And the talents really are not referring to that. In Rome, in this day and age when the New Testament was written, the Roman talent was a weight of currency differing in value concerning whether it was gold, silver, or copper. And I believe in this parable, he's referring to this as somewhat money. He mentioned that in verse 27, for the one who hid the talent, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. He gives us three examples. I believe the talents, Jesus did not necessarily leave us money, although in this parable, that's what he is helping them to see, is what they would do with the money. But the talents which belong to God, that he has given to us to use for him, that's what it represents. Talents is today what God has, what belongs to God, that he has given to us to use for him. Three examples given. There was one example of giving five talents. There was a second example of giving two talents. And there was a third example of giving one talent. Now, they were distributed according to, look in verse 15, according to his several ability. What God gave for them to use that belonged to God, that God distributed, this is God's part, was given to each one according to his several abilities. And the closest I can get to helping you to understand that is the capacity for business. Based on their capacity to use what was given. It didn't belong to them, it belonged to God. They were stewards. But it didn't belong to them, it belonged to God. But based upon their capacity to use what God had given to them, based on that, he gave them these talents. Because of our several ability, what God has given, we have different opportunities. Different opportunities. Different opportunities to accomplish things for God while Christ is away, which is God's will for our individual lives, which would vary based on your several ability and based on the talents that were given. But all in all, we find this parable, as he was leaving, he was giving to them certain opportunities, and they were to take advantage of these opportunities and do the most with what they had. Amen. I think everybody's in agreement there. Hopefully you understand that. That's breaking it down, understanding what's going on here. So different opportunities for each one. And since Christ established the New Testament church, this parable was basically given to this New Testament church age. There have been different generations. Every generation has been somewhat different. Different opportunities in the first century than what we have in this 21st century. But in every century, in every generation, which would be century here, we find that there have been different circumstances for the church. And so different opportunities, but the same opportunity to accomplish God's will. God had a will for that first century. God had a will for the second century, and God had a will for all of those living in every generation, every century that we have lived in since Christ was raptured up, and since he ascended up to heaven, and until he returns, 2,000 years and counting. Amen. So there has been different things to take place. And everything leading up to the rapture, we are closer today because it's been 2,000 years. And in order to fulfill what the Bible revealed concerning the end days, we would have to be in this 21st century. We would have to have the technology that we have today in order to fulfill what the Bible says will take place in the rapture and beyond, especially during the tribulation period. We've been studying that on Sunday nights in our study of the book of Revelation. And so we have here in every generation from the first century, each having to deal with different world conditions, each having to deal with different technologies, with the same goal, and that was to serve God. If we'd look over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it revealed from the very beginning of humanity. And it gives us a list of all of those men and women of the faith who had accomplished the things in their generation, in their time, leading up to the New Testament time. And God says that He has prepared something even better for us in this New Testament church age. Why? Because in this New Testament church age, we have the church. In this New Testament church age, we have the completion of the revelation of God, the Bible. For some 2,000 years, we have had the completion of the revelation that God had for man, the Bible. And we've had His church. So we have different opportunities today than what they had then, in Old Testament. But they were faithful, and God recorded them in the book of Hebrews for us, Old Testament. And as we look at the New Testament, looking back, I believe that's exactly what God would have us to be. In every generation, there has been a remnant of those that looked to God that had kept the faith, which allows us to have what we have today. Even in our Baptist history, we can look back in the what we have gained because of those who stood by the faith and who kept the Word of God. Baptist history, as we look back, and that's something we fail to do most often, is to understand our heritage, our Christian heritage, and those that have laid their life down, those that died in order for us to have the heritage that we have today and have the truth that we have today. So there has been different 22,000 years, different opportunities for every generation. First century, they had to travel by mule. They were limited to how many doors they could knock on. Amen. Today, my goodness, we can travel around the world. There's unlimited doors to knock on. We can get on the radio. We can get on television. We can, and we can send the gospel out different today than any other generation leading up to today. Different opportunities. In every generation, there have been different opportunities, not the same for everyone. But everyone has had the same opportunities to accomplish what God had them there to accomplish in their generation. Can I tell you another variable? Our race or nationality? Not the same. If you're born in the United States of America, you are much more accountable than somebody that was born in China concerning the truth of the gospel, concerning the truth of one God, creator of all things in three persons. In a Christian nation like America, whether you, there's some that claim to be atheists in this country, and yet you have been influenced by the Creator God, and you are going to be more accountable than somebody that was born in a place like China where they are raised to believe that there are no gods. Wow. Different opportunities. For those born in China. But the same opportunity for God's will for their life in China. Africa. South America. Europe. People being born around the world every day. Every generation. And yet this morning, we have the privilege to have been born in the United States of America, if you're an American citizen. What a blessing, but with that blessing comes accountability. Your severability, things that God controls that we don't control. And God giving us opportunities, talents, based on our severability, things that God controls that we don't control. Matter of fact, Luke in chapter 12, verse 48, let me just read this to you. Luke in chapter 12, very familiar passage, says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Wait a minute. He's not as accountable to somebody who knew? You're right. No, he's not. That's what the Bible says. "He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Not everybody has the same opportunities. Not everybody will have the same accountability. Generation, race or nationality, family. How many determined what family you were going to be born into? Whether you were born into a rich family or a poor family, on this side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks, you had no control over that. Who had control over that? Amen. Stop wishing that you had been born into a wealthy family. Stop wishing that you had been born into a different kind of family, whatever it might be. Listen to me. That you had no control over that. God had control of that. That was based on your several ability and the talents that God would have given to you. And with that, different ones, different opportunities. But everyone has the same opportunity to accomplish God's will for your life. God has a will for your life being born in that poor family. God has a will for your life being born in that rich family. Whether I was born and raised Catholic, or whether I was born and raised Baptist, different opportunities. Different opportunities. Whether you was raised Jehovah's Witness, whether you was raised in Buddhism, whether whatever it was, whatever belief, whatever religion you were taught as a child, can I tell you that will either hinder or help your opportunities to serve God. Not everyone has the same opportunities. But everyone has the opportunity for God's will for your life. God saved you out of the Catholic Church, amen? Then God wants to use that. God saved you out of an atheist home. God wants to use that. You were raised in a Baptist church that has the doctrine of Christ, that they've been taught that there is the one God in three persons, that you've been raised in Sunday schools that helped you to memorize the scriptures, to know who God is. Listen to me. You have a greater accountability than somebody that was not raised in a Christian home. You're raised in a pastor's home. You were raised in a deacon's home. You're raised in a home that raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's will for every child, but not every child's raised that way. Listen to me. Then you have a different opportunities. But everyone has the same opportunity to accomplish the will of God for their lives. You're raised in a functional or dysfunctional family. Amen. Some that have been raised in a dysfunctional family and some that have been raised in a functional family. Listen to me. Who has control over that? Only Almighty God has control over that. And some have different opportunities because of that, but all have the same opportunities for the will of God for your life. Different circumstances, different opportunities. But the same goal, learn of God and serve Him. There have been some that have been raised in dysfunctional families that have been given 5 talents. There have been some that have been raised in functional families and be given one talent. That's not out of my control. It's out of your control. The distribution of the talents is up to God, and it's according to His will for your life, and it's according to your several ability. That's God's part. Can I add another to that? Gender. Not the same. Not the same. Different opportunities. Every woman has the opportunity to glorify God as a woman. A man can't do that. Every man has the opportunity to glorify God as a man. A woman cannot do that. Different opportunities, the same opportunity to accomplish God's will for your life. The distribution of the talents. The second thing we find here is the handling of the talents. This is what's most critical. The first is God's part. Wherever you're at tonight, whoever you are, whatever your background, it's God's part. Our part, handling of the talents. Verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So our part is not really how many talents do I have, not comparing my opportunities with your opportunities. No, it's focused on God and you. It's each one of us looking to God and say, God, I want to be all that I can be with whatever you brought into my life. What am I doing with the opportunities that God has given me? I believe there's three examples given, but there's variation of possibilities here. I believe that there's somebody with five talents could have buried all five of them in the earth. I believe some do that. You're born in America, you're raised in a Christian home, raised in a Baptist church, raised to understand the Word of God, all the different things. And listen to me, you have all of these opportunities, and what you're doing with them is burying every one of them. There have been some that have been given five that maybe only had one. Only added one to it. Maybe some that had two, added three to it, added four. In this example, the one that had five added five. Praise the Lord for that. The one that had two, I believe the one that had two, variation of that, he could have buried his two in the dirt. Or he might have only been able to produce one, or this one example was two. But I believe there's some that have been given two talents that have produced 10 talents. And the example of the one, and what the Bible says about the one, we're going to get that in just a minute, but what a shame. But how much more if it had been the one that had five, bearing every one of them? What are we doing with the opportunities that God has given to us? Two out of the three had a desire to take advantage of their opportunities to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. To make the best out of what God had controlled in their lives. What God had controlled. Around the world, I believe there's people that are serving God in China with limited opportunities, with limited talents, but they have a heart to find out about this Creator God and to serve Him. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, let me just write this down. Let me just read it to you. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, the Bible says this: For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be people that were born in China that are going to be enjoying the joy of the Lord and what they were able to accomplish with their limited opportunities over those born in America that had great opportunities and didn't take advantage of them. See, the handling of the talents is make the best out of what God has controlled. Make the best out of wherever God's planted you. Make the best out of whatever abilities, talents that you have. Serve God. Be concerned about you accomplishing God's will for your life. Because in the last part, there was a day of reckoning for what was done with the talents. Can I tell you, there will come a day of reckoning. And once your life is over, as many have over the 2,000 years, all of those first century, second century, third century, leading all the way up to today, their lives are over. They can't go back and change any of it. But there's coming a day of reckoning. The Bible says in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Can I tell you that God has expectations for everyone to take advantage of their opportunities? God has expectations. He's had expectations, Old Testament, New Testament, first century, 21st century. Take advantage of our opportunities. And the key to it all is looking to God and saying, Lord, I want to be faithful with whatever opportunities that you've given to me. Verse 21, the Bible says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful. There's joy. So much joy. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The very same thing. But the first one had five, and he had five added to it. The second one only had two, but he had two added to it. There was no difference in that the blessings that God had for them because they were faithful to what they had. But then there was a third. Yeah. It went from being faithful and joy to verse 26. And he calls the one that only had one. Only had one talent. And yet he hid it. Didn't do anything with that opportunity. And God said, wicked. Slothful. Unprofitable. Being cast into outer darkness. What are we doing with salvation today? If you're born in America, you have a greater opportunity to get saved than being born in any other nation on this planet. We pick children up every Sunday. And praise God, we see souls being saved every week. Not only children, but adults. We see the children getting saved and taking the gospel home to their parents. Their parents are riding the bus. They come in and they get saved, and it makes a difference in their homes. Amen. It'll make a difference in generations to follow. We find people coming to the church, open door. Amen. Invitation. We just come through a campaign where there's been a lot of people been invited to come. There have been people that have come because of that, because they've just been invited, and they can come and they can hear the gospel and they have an opportunity to take advantage of salvation. Amen. There's no excuse for anyone to have been born in this United States of America and reject God. Can you imagine what that day of reckoning is going to be for that person? And yet there's souls being saved in China. There's souls being saved in Africa. There's souls being saved all around the world. And yet we have such an opportunity. And you're sitting here this morning and you don't know for sure whether or not heaven is going to be your place of eternity. There's coming a day of reckoning. God has planted you here in this country. God has given to you the opportunities you've had. And first and foremost, it's for you to get saved, to know Him. Don't let that pass you by. Don't let that pass you by. Not only has He given us opportunities to be saved, what are we doing with salvation? He's given to us His Word. This Bible has flourished in America. Been the number one bestseller. The most bought book in America. What are you doing with it? In China, they have to have underground churches. They get arrested for having the Bible. They get arrested for preaching and teaching it. Around the world, what are they doing? They don't have the opportunities that we have today. They don't have the opportunities that we have in America. And yet, what are we doing with the opportunities that God has given to us to know Him? Better than that, what are you doing with it? Do you read it? Is it part of your life? Great opportunities. What am I doing with it? Not only that, God has given to us the church. We can assemble ourselves together all day on Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship service, 6 o'clock Sunday night. Wednesday night we come back and we're assembled again for prayer and Bible study. Amen. In America, it's available to us. The church is available to us. It's not the way it is around the world. It's not the way it is in every state in the United States of America. You go to some states, it's hard to find a church that still stands for the truth and preaching the Word of God as it ought to be preached. But we have the opportunity to find a true church that we're teaching in Sunday morning Sunday school. That still stands where God wants us to stand and still preaches the Word as it needs to be preached. Amen. Still stands against sin. Amen. What are we doing with it? We come out of convenience. What are we doing with the opportunities that God has given to us? An opportunity to help you with your marriage. Be in church. Most important thing you can do to help your marriage, stay in church. Most important thing you can do in raising your children, stay in church. Be under the Word of God. Most important thing we can do when you're going through trials, stay in church. Why? It's what God's provided for us. Don't bury God's opportunity for you to serve Him. Don't bury the opportunity you have to get saved. Get saved. Don't bury the opportunity you have to know about this Bible. Study it. Read it. Don't bury your opportunity to be a part of the local New Testament church. Don't bury that. Use it and take advantage of the opportunities God's given us to accomplish God's will for your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What am I doing with the opportunities that God is giving me? What a question to ask ourselves. Don't ask anybody else. That's not what it's about. Don't look around to find out who has more greater opportunities than you, who has more talents than you. Don't look around for that. That's not why this parable was given. This parable was given for each one to look at themselves and ask themselves, what am I doing with the opportunities that God has given me? Even in the 12, there was different opportunities for each one. And what was most important is for each one to accomplish what God had them here to accomplish. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word, for this parable that helps us to see things very clearly. And I pray, God, that everyone here would have received the message that you had for them. And right now, as this invitation time is given, that each one would search their own hearts, be willing to make whatever decisions that you would have them to make. If there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray they take advantage of the opportunity to get saved, today. Lord, whatever the need is, I pray that they would look to you. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.